Little hint.
Yeah. All right. You call the meeting to order?
Yeah.
Roll call. Here, Sam, you got everybody?
Got everybody, thank you.
Okay. Seven pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, item one.
Yeah.
Approval of the previous minutes of what, August 15th? Questions, comments?
Anybody? So move.
Second?
Somebody second, wait.
Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, item number two, Stacy.
You're on.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, members of the board. We are here this evening to listen to two of our Mountainside review cases. The first one is case number 2121MS. It is located at 6915 East Ruston Road in the Carefree Plat 3B. The applicant originally was Mr. Tyler Green, and the owners are Mr. and Mrs. Ben and Julie Williams. For a little bit of context, you can see that the site is located towards the base of Black Mountain, and so sometimes these sites can go one way or another. This one did have some interesting topography and other issues that necessitated this to be a mountainside case. Location-wise, Black Mountain is basically to the left, which is to the west, and Boulders is across Tom Darlington to the east. Looking at the property a little bit more detail, you can see the property boundaries and the setbacks, which show the developable area. But as I mentioned just previously, that it does have some drainage that does cross through the property. This is probably from just runoff from Black Mountain in general and from the surrounding neighborhoods. There also is a small rock outcropping at the lower corner, the southwest corner, but as you can see, it's outside the developable area of the property.
Stacy, is your mic on?
Yeah.
It is on. Do you all hear me okay? Okay. I'm sorry. I'll try to speak. Maybe I'll speak up a little more.
Yeah, don't be shy.
I'm not shy. I just thought.
I'm going to buy about one of those head ears. I just don't mind hearing.
I don't know how much everybody would really want to hear my voice so much here. But in any case, slope analysis, as you can see, it's a variable type of site. But what I think is important to note as we look at in several of these cases in the slope analysis, the attempt to locate the proposed home and amenities related to the home sort of in the least impactful portion of the property. In this case, it's the areas, I would say, closest to Ruston Road.
Stacy, can we go back to the drainage for a quick?
This?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, there are drainage easements in place, so that's just over the flow, just normal over the flow property. Okay, no problem.
Yes, yeah, these are just sort of drainage channels that go across the nothing formal.
Gotcha.
And they're pretty low CFS flow rates. So I did change the orientation here, but you can see again with the site plan, it's a modest-sized home with a future casita proposed to its east. In the rear yard, you can see they've got a pool area, deck space, and they also have an entertainment area that they have proposed to a bocce ball court. Also, as you've seen probably in your packet, some of the plans that they have a nature trail that goes throughout the property, and understandably so, but that has very minimal impact to the site itself. When you look at our development standards for the Rural 70 single-family zoning, the lot, as you know, lot coverage is 13% and lot disturbance is 39%. Both that criteria have been met, 5% a little more than 5% under lot coverage, and about 26% of the area for disturbance. Sometimes that number tends to be high with this property, as well as we'll look at another one after this when there's no sewer. So we do have to account for the disturbance created by septic system. Setbacks, they comply with 60 feet front and rear and 30 on the sides. Importantly to the mountainside criteria is the cumulative height, and this does comply as well even with the terrace rear yard at 30 feet. The house itself is a low profile at 17 feet, where our maximum allows for 24 feet, and all the grading and drainage requirements related to mountainside have been met. Utilities will be located under the driveway, and then, of course, there's a septic system that I just mentioned. I like to highlight just to understand what cumulative height means, and you can see at the point that's the lowest under structure is on the southern portion of the lot, sort of at the edge of the bocce court, and then you take it to the highest point of the roof line, and that's where you get your 30 feet. It's specifically to the Development Review Board responsibilities. Again, we're looking at this property because of the environmentally sensitive features such as the slopes. We do have retaining walls at the rear yard space, and so this allows for a little bit more height. The house is designed with some Southwest aesthetics. As you saw in your report, the materials are very contextual, the colors very desert-like. And then we look at our landscaping. They propose native landscaping, and all of the material that is non-native would be outside of the setbacks. I would say in the buildable area, put it that way. And so then the landscape plan, again, I thought this was sort of a nice representation to give you an idea of some of the material that they're looking to use. And you can see basically it's being proposed within the developable area. Again, here's those materials that I was referencing. You can see stone, rusted steel, stucco color that you see, you know, a lot in Carefree, as well as the paver driveway.
Where are the middle wall panels going? Which elevations? So they, can we see them here someplace?
Let me see. Let's keep going here. I think if you look at these renderings, the area that is brown is where the panels will be. If you look at these renderings that we're looking at now, the areas that are brown are where you'll see the metal panels.
So the dark brown areas.
The dark brown areas. Mm-hmm. Is that? I think I'm correct. Yeah, it's a rendering, but basically in that block area that looks as brown, that's where the Corten steel will be. It has that rusted metal look. Yes.
This is owner occupied, not an Airbnb future.
You'll have to ask the owners that, but
sorry, you guys are the owners? Oh, perfect. Okay, never mind. Okay.
But I don't
do
know.
You
if
like
that's
the design?
Yes.
It's your design? Okay. A little out of character with the neighborhood? No.
Why don't we get through the presentation and you're welcome to ask them the question?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, I just wanted to see what's important about these renderings is not so much the material and the design, but sort of how it fits into the context of the land itself. And you can sort of see that was the front yard area. This is how you can see how the rear yard area works with how the topography sort of undulates across. Again, through the public process, they submitted their required citizen participation report. There was some concern from a neighbor related to drainage, but that was addressed. The applicant reached out, and there was no opposition to the project itself. And as you can see in your report, there's conditions for approval that are associated with the development. And now I'm happy to answer any questions, or the applicant or the owners would be happy to answer questions as well. I'm just kidding, Phil. any questions from the board?
Well, my own statement is it's fitting real well right in there. It's a challenging site to boot. Mm-hmm. It's going to look nice.
Who's the architect? Raise your hand.
He's Tyler Green is the architect, though.
Contractors are here. The guys are going to build it here. A lot of right angles should be pretty easy to build pretty fast, too, right?
And there was a home there that was taken down in 2001 or 2002. So there is even part of that home still.
Okay.
Oh, that's true. Is that why you have the culvert? Somebody put the culvert in at the driveway?
The driveway cut.
That was
the septic system there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if you're entertaining a motion, I would move to approve. The applicant and his application subject to the conditions that were agreed to. And
I'll second
go for
it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Nice job. Congratulations on your new home.
Another step in a long journey.
Just don't, you know, just don't hope, you hope you don't have to remodel it with insurance funds.
All right. Ready for item three?
Okay. Then our next case is case number 2126MS. It's located at 37102 Nevermind Trail, which is a lot that is part of the Nighthawk on Black Mountain subdivision. This lot may sound familiar to you. We had discussed the abandonment case of utility and access easement not too long ago, and this is one of the properties that's ready to move forward to develop. The applicant is Mr. Ken Bartels, who is the architect, as well as the owners are Mr. and Mrs. David and Lisa Black. Again, you know, always like to give some context to the properties that we're talking about. This is a site that is, it's on the southern edge of the Nighthawk on Black Mountain subdivision. To the east is Original Carefree. To the south is our Hawk's Nest subdivision. And it is surrounded by other lots within the Nighthawk subdivision as well. And as you know, then immediately to the west is Black Mountain. So it's a beautiful property and a nice location. When you look at the aerial map in a little bit more detail, again, you can kind of see where the buildable area has been defined by its setbacks. And on this particular lot, similar to the other lot, again, there's some boulder outcroppings, but they tend to be outside the buildable area. And so as we'll get into a little looking at the site in a bit more detail, that they will not be disturbed. There is also a drainage channel that does bypass the or goes through the northwest corner of the property. Again, similar to the other project, very low flow rates, not necessitating any issue related to washes and realignments and things like that. Again, so looking at a slope analysis, basically everything to the west of, I would say pretty much the disturbance envelope are very steep slopes, ranging anywhere from 20 to 25%, and even more, some at the greater up to 30%. So really, this development looked at locating similar to the other case, its development envelope, again, in the least impactful part of the property and the least steep slopes as well. And so those, again, tended to be closer to the roadway, and again, in this case, closest to Nevermind Trail. Looking quickly at the site plan, it kind of has a linear sort of, as it's perpendicular to Nevermind Trail, and a lot of times you'll see this, again, working with topography that's going from very steep to less steep, trying to work with the contour lines. In this case, the residence has a workshop as well as adjacent to it, it has also its own guest home. You can see then again to the south, and although this is a graphic, but the house is not within proximity to those rock features. Reviewing our development standards, again, this project does comply, 7% lot coverage as well as a 25% disturbance area where the maximums are 13 and 39%. Also, you saw where the development, the buildable area was, and again, the development itself is well away from those setback areas. This particular property has a cumulative height of 35.5 feet. And has a height of 19 feet where 24 feet maximum is permitted, up to 24 feet. Again, similarly, the grading and drainage requirements have been met. I should have mentioned this in the last case, but also you know that these are also reviewed by our town engineer, so he had no comments in regards to the way drainage was proposed. As well as the dry utilities will go under the driveway and the water line as well, and the septic system, again, is been included in that disturbance calculation. To show how cumulative height is represented in very similar fashion, I would say, outside the rear of the home, the backyard patio where they have their pool and other amenities, they need retaining walls in order to allow for that development, and so that's where you'll find the lowest part under structure, and then you'll see to the highest roof line, and it's up to, that, again, 35.5 feet. Under your purview, again, we look at steep slopes. This particular property had rock outcroppings and did have a wash on it, although both of those features were not impacted. Similarly, southwest aesthetics are sort of are articulated in the designs of the home. as well as native landscaping within all of the disturbed areas of the property. Just to give you again an idea, you can see the source of this tight development envelope and as well as the landscaping associated with it. Again, with the last property as well as this one, they'll do a salvage inventory, and this plan represents, and it was in your packet, several plants that are going to be relocated and salvaged on the property. Building materials, again, we're looking at Corten steel, stone, some ground face block, which has some interesting texture, as well as pavers for the driveway, which once again I think helps sort of create a more natural looking sort of access into the home. These renderings, again, from different positions do as well show you sort of how the home and the casita and just the amenities and the development in general kind of sit within the topography of the lot. And here's some other vantage points that are a little bit different than what were represented in your report, looking at sort of two sides of an elevation at the same time. But once again, you sort of get that feel. You get an understanding of sort of how the colors sort of are part of and contextual to the area, as well as how the architecture sits within the site.
Stacey, the rendering showed that, is that the Corten steel, the lighter color, or the light brown?
Yes.
That's the Corten steel? Okay. I didn't realize it came in brick form. I thought it was mostly flat. Because it looks like it's brick cut up.
It's more like a shiplap.
Okay. Uh-huh. Understand.
Similarly, there was a citizen participation process and the report that was required. There was a neighbor from the community to the south that had some concerns about the layout and the design, which the architect answered. And again, I've received no opposition to this proposal as well. Conditions of approval are attached to your report. This one has the added condition related to what development as they continue and as the next lot will come in, and have the discussion related to that abandonment of the easement and for the for utilities and access.
How did both of those issues work together?
So the way it worked out was that there is an agreement between Lot 9 and Lot 6 is the other one, that's the one to its north, that once Lot 6 then develops is when the abandonment will formally move ahead for the access and the utilities. The one thing that this lot will do at this time now, however, related to the driveway, is that once they submit for their building permit, before we issue that permit, they do have to rededicate the third easement, which was the vehicular non-access easement, and only to allow it for the opening at the driveway. Because right now, if you may recall, that case where we allowed for a broad area of where the driveway could be located, but once they pinpoint that location, they had to close the gap, I guess, for lack of better description. So now I'm having answered any questions that you have or any questions that you might have for the architect or the owner as well.
Well, I think that both of these houses are beautiful, well done, compliments to the owners, compliments to the architects, hopefully compliments to the builders.
Well, I don't know about that yet. Let me see the budget for these things.
Yeah, it's exciting to approve such beautiful properties.
Absolutely.
Stacey, sure. Can you just review with us just one more time? The height of the chimney is not included in the overall height. Is that generally the way it's done?
Chairman and board member Davey, that is correct. You're allowed up to 3 feet above the ridge line of the home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 3 feet.
That's a good question. Thank you.
Any questions further?
Ready for a motion? I move to approve, subject to conditions as agreed.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Congratulations.
And congratulations to the whole team and both projects.
That was
great.
Right? Project.
Yeah.
Nice work getting to this point, wasn't it?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Good turn.
Moving. Second.
Oh, we have to adjourn this.
During this meeting, yeah.
9 o'clock. 3 hours almost over. So I'm going to hurry here.
During this meeting.
I'm sorry. We just have to close our meeting, and then you guys are more than welcome. I feel like
the meeting is beginning to start.
Ralph.
Oh, you want me?
Get up here. Stacy, I can't talk anymore. So. Other than motion to adjourn, that's it, I'm out. Is that right, John?
Mm-hmm. It caused us to be 30 seconds late.
All right.
Horace.
It's all your fault.
It's Horace.
Just beginning of the dialogue in this. We do the Pledge of Allegiance again?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a new meeting.
It's a new meeting. We got
a new meeting?
Yeah, it's a new meeting. This is Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
Call order. Roll call.
Mm-hmm. Aye. She got it.
Okay. Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance again.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. In grade school, when the under God, I got introduced. I was. So, the first one is we got to approve our minutes of September 12th.
Mm-hmm. I have a suggestion or a change or something. In item two, it refers to the final draft of the Village Center Master Plan. But if you look down at the bullets down below that, you see that we've renamed it the Village Center Redevelopment Plan. So can we just correct the italicized language in right next to item two?
What
can I think
of
that?
It's in
a minute.
Get your minutes.
Oh, okay.
Look back. It says.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Village Center Master Plan. And down here, we're talking Village Center Redevelopment Plan.
So change that. Make him happy. Make him happy. Change it.
Well, I don't know if it's about changing it. I think that it was changed in the meeting to call it the Village Center Redevelopment Plan. From the agenda was the agenda. I mean, that's just how it was advertised. But in the discussion during the meeting itself, that's when it was renamed. So I'm not quite sure we need to change that, Peter. Okay.
All right. Approval of the minutes?
I'll second.
So we make a motion?
I just moved approval of the minutes.
And I second it.
Oh. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Let's move on. All right. And now,
agenda.
Item number two. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
Before we get into this, can somebody explain to me the process we're in, what stage this is, whether we'll see it again, mm-hmm. and where it's going?
Well, actually, I think that's probably what Rebecca is going to explain in her presentation. But I will tell you quickly that we're kind of in the home stretch with the signage plan. And I think that's what Rebecca is going to present to you, is that there's been a lot of discussion from the moment we started this way back when up till now. We've had a lot of interaction, a lot of community meetings, work sessions with town council. And, you know, it's important. It seems redundant, I'm sure, to some, but this is getting the information out into the public in a broad-based as we can get to receive input to then get to a plan that everybody has seen and is comfortable with, and that's what Rebecca's here to present tonight.
Okay. Just for my edification, at some point, are we going to be asked to approve this, or?
You are. So this is sort of speak now or forever hold your peace, so to speak, although you can always speak up at your public meetings as well. But this is the last time we're going to look at this. You're going to, if you have any considerations for town council or for, I'm sorry, any considerations to change the plan, any kind of things you still would like to tweak, then we're going to take this to town council next week kind of as their last, I hate to say it's your last opportunity, because in the public you can obviously at a public meeting change things as the conversation goes. But this is then the step before we take it to you as planning and zoning to make a recommendation and then to town council for approval or such.
The comments from the public will be taken here, too.
Well, there's one person from the public.
Well, he don't count.
I'm not talking about him. So I hope that helps kind of answer that. And I think Rebecca will get into a little bit more detail on what that all is about.
You're on.
Okay, thank you. Is this, can you all hear me okay?
No.
No.
No, okay. Does this need to get turned on?
No, it's on. You just have to How about, is this okay?
Yeah, it's better.
Better? Okay.
You got to talk loud like she talks.
I will talk as loud as I can. Absolutely.
That's good.
Okay, perfect.
I got the break. I can turn up my hearing aids.
Well, thank you guys again for being here and hearing this evening. What our purpose is today is to go over some of the revisions that we have to the signage and to some of the items that we wanted to share with you based on the commentary we had at our last discussion with Town Council and with this group. So today I wanted to go over some of the revised themes that we've developed, the revised sign concepts and revised sign exhibits based on your comments from the last discussion. So we'll start first with the theming. We talked about colors. And we also talked about icons. And so there were two icons that we are now looking at as for consideration on these signs. The first is the hummingbird, and we showed this to you last time. The second is a revised sundial version. And so this is for your review and to see what comments you have on these updated designs. From an overall constructability standpoint, the hummingbird is certainly the easier option. It's simpler. But the sundial does reflect the comments that we heard last time in that it may be of interest to include something like that in the sign design. So curious on your thoughts.
I noticed when you had the open house, there was a voting opportunity over here.
Right. Rebecca didn't have the open house, so the town did. And okay. So, yes.
What were the results of the poll?
It was weighing more towards to the sundial. However, I haven't done an actual official tally, but we also have received other comments, though we had a survey that was available and other information from our stakeholders that the preference is still the hummingbird. But it was interesting. You know, you have to kind of think about it, too. I think Rebecca brings up something important as the constructability of it. But secondly, too, is who is the signage really reaching out to? Who is it important? I think that as residents, people know the sundial and resonate with the sundial. But as somebody coming to our town, you know, what's important is that they understand the cue and then they follow that cue. And, in fact, I'm going to let Rebecca talk about that a little bit more.
So as from an overall standpoint, when you're looking at the signs, as per your comments last time, simplicity is key. And so when we think about that and we look at these two, there's one that is clearly more simple than the other. There is a cost that we also need to consider. And so the more intricate design that we have, the higher cost we'll get. So that's the other factor that we'd want to think about. We think this sundial option is much improved from the last one that we showed you. We do think it's a nice look, but again, to your point last time, you know, as you're driving by at 30 miles an hour, are you really going to see the detail in that sundial? And so from an overall form of the sundial, it's that long linear shape, and unless you're familiar with it, you're not really going to know what that is.
Yeah, you don't know what it is.
Correct. So, again, in looking at your arches and your existing signs, you have a lot of hummingbird icons, and I know there's disagreement on maybe if those should be there or not, but they are there. And so this is a way to help reinforce that theming, which has become the theme of Carefree.
Is there any consideration to make the sundial icon simpler, taking away the cactus and the sun and the mountain?
So that, sure. That was more of the look that we had the previous time, and it was deemed as something that couldn't be recognizable.
Okay.
So that's the challenge with that. It's a difficult shape to kind of put up on an image. Correct. Yes, we looked at the your seal and took from there. But, you know, again, as a seal, it's easy to see. We're here staring at it. But as a sign, visually, it's difficult. And you can see the existing sundial sign. And it is, unless you know what that is, it's hard to see what that is.
Colors help greatly.
great deal.
Right, right, absolutely.
You didn't consider the possibility of just having maybe one or two of the hummingbird signs also show the bees and then the hummingbirds and the bees in a fight?
I mean, we could put more detail in there if you wanted, but...
I've been seeing that in my backyard for the last week.
Oh?
The bees are all over the hummingbird feeder all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's sweet.
So the hummingbird, for its simplicity, is from a cost perspective, from an overall visual perspective, it is certainly the easier choice. But we are, again, opening this to discussion because, you know, we want to hear the feedback, and we understand the feedback that we've received so far. So it's not something that you all need to decide on or give us feedback now. This is really for your consideration as we're moving forward, and if there's any comments to these that you'd like us to see, we can continue to make adjustments to those, but this is where we've landed since our last discussion.
As a comment just from my own input, with the colors and everything else we've gotten about the third or fourth time around, just paging through this, it looks quite good.
Thank you.
If I could just add, maybe to conclude the conversation about the logos, I think the one thing that's important here also is that I don't think this is something that's going to stop the process of the plan itself. I mean, this is a component of it, but I don't think it holds up the plan as to which symbol is the preferred symbol at this time. I just wanted to bring that forward.
So I think to follow up on that, the intent is that there will be an icon, and, you know, we can continue to discuss that, but the idea is that there would be an icon,
yeah,
and that it will tie into your existing signs. So moving on from this, looking at the updated sign concepts, again, as we discussed last time, these are the materials, as a reminder, that we're considering: the metal with the rusted finish, the perforated metal, and then the dark chestnut with gold accents. Based on your feedback, we definitely heard that, again, simplicity is what is preferred. So a general wayfinding standard, when you're on roads that are the speed of Tom Darlington in Cave Creek, is that you don't want more than 6 destinations. So that's a rule of thumb with wayfinding, and that's a standard. So that's right. So this sign we've simplified to make sure that the destination for any vehicular signage, so those would be the high-speed signage, so that's the gateway sign, the one on the left, and then the high-speed directional signs, those will not have more than 6 destinations associated with them. The font type has been updated. It is a larger font type than what you saw previously. The arrows are also updated, and they match MUTCD, which is the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Standards for vehicular roadways of speeds of the kind of that you have. So we have updated that to make sure that we're meeting that intent. The letters would be reflective, and that would also meet the intent of the code. And then again, we've looked at font size and made sure that that is appropriate for the speed of travel. So, sure.
Can I just jump into the, how is the construction of the major pylon sign, the high speed or major
gateway
directional signs?
The first one on the left.
Yes, the welcome gateway and directional signage combination.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that like you have the substrate of the perforated steel or metal, mm-hmm, whatever? How deep is that?
You mean how wide is that pillar there? So that part, we haven't gone into construction drawings yet on that, but my vision of that is that it's, you know, it's a significant width. So I would say bigger.
Oh, okay.
It's probably like 2 feet.
And then your 3 panels that you're going to have on that, they are going to have relief, right?
Absolutely.
And
so
what, 2 or 3 inches?
It would be a 2 to 3 inch relief on there, yes. So you're going to have the perforated metal,
right,
which has a depth to it as well, because it's going to be, it's not just one singular piece.
Right.
It's going to be
about
6 inches for that piece. Then you're going to have that pillar that's going to be a more substantial pillar.
And you had mentioned that you're going to use reflective, like vinyl die cuts or something like that?
For the lettering, yes.
So there's And so that all the lighting is going to be exterior lighting.
So it could be exterior lit. We could look at interior as well. So for the actual column part, that we could see as a really nice internally lit where that carefree lettering could come through as light. We were not thinking that on the directions.
So you're relying on headlights to...
Headlights and then exterior lighting, uplighting.
You will have...
We certainly could do that. We certainly could. We haven't designed that in detail yet, but that's an option.
A question with regard to your high-speed directional. The issue here, you know, is basically to get people saying, here's the center of town, turn here, right? Do we need all this, sundial gardens and all the different arrows going in different ways, or should it just be, here's the center of town, make a left here, or a right, or whatever the case may be, as opposed to having, you know, the six items on here, just have one.
Sure.
This town center.
So what the intent of this is to draw people in to say that there's interest here. It's not just the town center, exactly. So it's
percentage of people driving on Time Darlington or either street, what percentage of them do not know it's there, that our town center's here and you can't have dinner there or something's going to happen? What percentage of them? 20%? Whose way are we trying to help find?
That is something that we haven't surveyed people to know, you know, how many know or not, but we've understood that it is something that from the business side, the businesses favor this and that they feel that it will strengthen their business and that it will strengthen the...
It's going to get people who don't know that they're there to visit them. That's what's going to happen?
That's the intent.
That doesn't happen now with the arch? The arch was a failure, we're told?
I don't know if I'd call the arches a failure. I think the issue with the arches is that I think they're landmarks and you know that you're here, but I think by the time you're there in a car, you may have passed by. And I think what Rebecca will start to talk about is that they're going to be there, but they're actually kind of more pedestrian in nature, that people are going to kind of walk under and pass through. But these are the signs that are going to tell you how to get into town center and where to find what you're looking for.
Well, again, for whatever percentage is of people driving on that road.
We think it's a high percentage. Okay, we think that visitors coming to Carefree, you know, it's confusing at which time, which street do you turn into, which right do you make, which one takes you into town center. I think it's hard, and I agree, it's hard to be objective because I think we all know it so well, but you got to think about the person that is coming up, you know, they've flown into Sky Harbor, they're staying at the Hampton Inn, and they're trying to find their way into town center and how to find where they're going to stay. And these are, like, there's landmarks that let you know that we're almost at town center, and then there's actual information that tells you where I need to go and where I need to find my location.
So the town center is a piece of the village center. Because we're just at a village, for development purposes.
The village center is the town center. It's
the same thing. It sounds as if we're trying to attract people to a piece of a bigger pie.
Well,
we're trying to get them into the town center.
The Village Center Master Plan is focusing on redevelopment and development of parcels that aren't developed yet. And it's a specific boundary. There's a specific area. But this signage is bringing people into that redevelopment area, but into our town center in general. So.
I'm just confused. What is it, Village Center or Town Center?
The boundaries of it for this are, you know, Tom Darlington, Cave Creek. It's basically this shield. There has been discussion, I think, at our last meeting on what do we want to call this. Do we want to call it Village Center? Do we want to call it Town Center? There was discussion in our stakeholder meeting. Should we call it Old Town? Like, you know, like how do we want to call it?
So it is the same boundary. They're the same boundaries. So,
I think the
good point. I mean, we are calling it different things, and it's all one and the same.
Certainly, we're going to decide. Even tonight, we just call it one thing, something different tonight, right? In our minutes.
We got trouble now.
Oh, no. So we're only talking about signage.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know we do the plans call the Village Center, but everybody has been referring to this area as the Town Center. I think collectively, when we went through the stakeholder group, I think everybody preferred to just stick with Town Center. We can change the Village Center Master Plan to the Town Center redevelopment plan. I personally It's the only place that says Village Center is on that cover sheet for that Village Center master plan. Everything else has been referred to as Town Center.
Well, let's be consistent. Call it Town Center, which again begs the question. And once people arrive and they see that big, beautiful arch, they know they're in our village. They know they're in our town. They just got to find their way to find the restaurants. And, you know, that's all.
And
the hotel's going to help do that.
And I think they're finding the way is what these signs are for. And it's for people that aren't familiar with the town. So I'll say as a visitor initially to Carefree, I did not know that you had all of these amenities here. I'll be honest. And so coming in and seeing something like this and seeing the different things that you have, it's for people that aren't from here. And so that's the intent of our sign.
It's the number one complaint you get from visitors is A, they didn't even know we were here. B, when they got here, they didn't even know how to get here. And so they try to get on NAV. And even with NAV, they end up in the wrong spot half the time. So,
mm-hmm.
Because just the way Google works in this particular community, it just really, this is a big benefit to help the businesses. And you know, as part of when we start looking at our business is they provide basically the backbone of revenue to this community. And while I would say this area specifically in itself doesn't generate a ton, but adding the hotel will add significant revenue to what we can generate. I mean, you know, we're trying to help our businesses. And the other side of it, these businesses are local businesses. They're your residents, you know, or your neighbors. And so we're really trying to help really foster that particular environment in a very productive way. And sense of arrival is a big, huge problem we have.
And that's exactly the right word, is that sense of arrival, because you mentioned the gateways. But the gateways don't happen until, well, if you're coming up Tom Darlington, until Wampum Way. So you've already passed Bloody Basin, you've passed Carefree Drive, you know, and you're wondering, am I supposed to turn now? Am I supposed to turn now? And then you see that gateway, and by the time you realize it, you passed it. So, and I think that's the same problem we have with Cave Creek Road, my opinion.
And the gateways were really supposed to be done in context with other things, including signage, including pedestrian amenities. And when you look at the master plan that was originally created, there were other to-do list items outside of just doing the gateways. And so when you just do one thing and you don't do the rest in context, which is why we're going through the exercise of the design.
Let's continue, because I think we're just beating up the same point.
So, okay. So instead of, you know, you have six items here.
Yes.
The last one being parking.
Yes.
Would you consider changing that to, say, hotel? You know, these are landmarks. They're going to have parking everywhere that they may go within the town, unless you're talking about some generalized parking area that's remote from these items.
The reason that parking is included on there is that we have heard that parking is a big concern from the surveys that we have done, and then the business owners as well. And so what we're wanting to convey is that you can park in town. There's parking for all of these different destinations. Again, six items on a vehicular directional sign is absolutely within the standards for wayfinding. So we don't want to go beyond that, but we did not include the hotel because it is a one private business, and we are not singling out any businesses in particular here.
It seems to me that people who haven't been to this area, you know, who are looking for this hotel, would like to know where it is. You know, so I don't know if the Hampton Inn is going to put signs along, or you're going to allow them to put signs along the two arteries that surround the town, or not. But it would certainly be the desirable thing for people who are trying to seek out something that they want to go to.
It's one thing we struggle with, because when we put hospitality or hotel, we also have Savannah and we also have Spirit in the Desert. And so what we didn't want to do is if somebody was going to Savannah and an arrow was pointing them in the town center,
yeah, no, get
hospitality or hotel,
they'll never get to Savannah.
Yeah.
So we started to think, well, how do we, and you have individual signs for each individual business, and it just got a little awkward. And so we just, that's where we went off with not having the hospitality.
Hilton will take care of that problem, getting people to find their place. I mean, because don't forget, Savannah's outside of town square.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I understand your point here, but I see you're talking about people who are unfamiliar with the area. You know, as you say, getting a going into Sky Harbor, renting a car, and driving up here and trying to find this hotel in the middle of this town. I would think that it would be a natural thing to say, you know, hotel this way. I know that the hotel can be seen from various areas. It's going to have less visibility as they complete some of the structures to the west. And I don't think you can really see it very well from K Street Road.
Yeah, I'd love to work with the Hampton and figure out a way when people get to Carefree Drive, come out on Darlington.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, I think that's going to be the predominant way people drive to the Hampton Inn, at least. Yeah, it's just one of those, it's a tough one.
Well, have you asked the Hampton Inn? I mean, it's been open for a while, and it seems like there have been quite a few people there. Has anybody said to them, hey, I had a hell of a time finding this place? Has anybody said that to them yet?
Meet with them tomorrow to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, see what they would say. The guy at the front desk goes, I've had 20 people in the past 12 hours that said, boy, we took forever to find this place. I don't think you're going to have that happen, personally, but I'd be curious to see if that was a question asked.
The nice thing is they can say, follow the signs that, you know, you're going to see this sign and take the first ride. You know, I think it makes it easier. But when the customer's coming in, especially at nighttime, they're going to see that there's something. They're like, right now, there's nothing. And so when you're driving through, you're driving down a road, you're just going to go to the stop sign before you even see anything. That delineates where you're even at. So.
If I can make a comment as far as progress on those. The colors and everything, I think, have been studied to death, and they're fine. And the location diagram behind, that's got all the stuff on it, the one behind you, doesn't it?
Correct, yes. So this is everything.
There's a lot of studying going into that one.
There has, yes. And, you know, we can keep this as, again, as brief as you'd like. I can go through this slide and the next, and then we can just look at the map. But what we've done is we've simplified based on, again, our last discussion to minimize the amount of signs. We have brought it down from what you initially saw quite a bit in hearing your comments and making sure that we are simplifying.
I think most of them would concur. The studying the colors and this type of thing is outstanding. So now the only thing you get down to, I actually, Sunday morning, I got out with the one plan and kind of walked the town center and whatnot, just with the plan, just to see where everyone's going to go at. And I could tell that that's been studied, and it looked pretty doggone decent, and there's not any eloquent problems I was going to bring up. Get everybody into town. I mean, none of it's 100% perfect. That never shows up.
Sure.
But if you can get the majority, people can find their way in here, and the colors look great. Onward and upward.
And signs like this, though, assume that the town is static, like you're not going to have another eatery located somewhere else that the sign doesn't point to. So do we have plans or thoughts as to how we may overcome that challenge?
So one of the nice things about this design is that each of the destinations is a singular panel. And so that panel could get updated. The whole structure itself is intact, and that's your most expensive piece. That's where the majority of the work is. And so that panel, for example, if on one of the pedestrian directional signs, if we have additional shopping, not just to the right but also to the left, we could update that one small panel and make that change pretty easily. So
another arrow in.
Put another arrow in. I mean, we have done these in other communities, and they have updated them easily. I was in Springdale, Utah yesterday, and they have signs similar to this where they have had updates made since the time that our signs went in, and they've been easy to address. So because of this design, it is simplifying that process to update signs.
I think it looks great. Where do we go next?
So
location?
Location is one other item that, you know, we have this diagram behind us. You have it in detail in your document.
Yeah.
We also have each sign listed out in your document.
Mm-hmm.
Your review of that is what we would look for. If there are any other comments or items that you want us to consider, what I heard last time clearly made an impact because we have lessen the sign significantly, and we've taken your considerations, and we want to hear your feedback.
That's what I was just looking at it. Now it's not just overwhelming. Now it's definitive, and it's going to get you somewhere.
Yes, and this is going to generate interest. It's going to make give, you know, the town feel like a destination. There's these items that are here. It's generating excitement for visitors that aren't familiar with what they can find. So when they're coming through, seeing the different things, it's part of the brand. It's part of what is going to make Carefree, you know, a destination point. And we want people to stay here, to shop here, and to visit all of these attractions.
No, I think, well, my opinion is this thing is ready to throw to the console.
So, well, last thing that I just want to comment on.
Sure.
Is this digital kiosk.
Yes.
That kind of thing. You know, when I think of Carefree, I think of something simple. And it doesn't necessarily bring to mind a digital kiosk in the center of town. And trying to keep things carefree, so to speak, I'm not sure that a kiosk fits that image.
Sure.
That I have anyhow,
sure.
Of our town.
They're everywhere in the country, the world now.
Yeah, I realize that, but I don't think it fits here.
I think you stand there in the middle of look around and know where everything is, so just turn it 360. What's the digital going to do, you know? Better readout?
Maybe a printout for you.
I agree.
QR codes that come up and, you know, go on your phone or something. You know,
like there's a lot sign of that says playground next to a playground.
Yeah.
What is that, a playground? Because the sign said it? Come on.
It's part of branding. It's part of making a look and a feel for a destination.
Village Center or Village Town Center? Which brand are we talking about?
Well, I think the thing about digital kiosks is also the opportunity now with technology about what information is in that kiosk itself, and is it a touch screen? Can you zoom in and look at where 100 Easy Street is and then touch it, and then it gives you a list of all the businesses there? You know, so it's that kind of, I believe, it's that kind of idea, in the sense that, I don't know, you have sort of the framework, which is kind of our beautiful, you know, the signage kind of structure and everything, and this just allows it to be interactive. I think that's what people look for today. The pedestrian maps, though, are a little different. And
yeah, so I can also speak to this a little bit as far as next steps and implementation and phasing, because not all of these signs, to your point, are critical to a wayfinding system. The destination signs, they're nice. They are part of a wayfinding program if you're implementing that in a community. But the destination signage is not a must. What you're really looking for is to get people into the town. And so the signs that you see on this front page, these are the ones that are the most helpful.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for phasing and looking for how to simplify, these signs for your gateways and for your vehicular travelers, and also if you're looking to the pedestrian as well, the ones on this first slide are your most critical.
Yeah. The only destination I would put in there is the parking destination signage that goes up on a post, because people aren't quite sure where all the parking is. Because we have a distributed parking model here, it would really help that people know that they can park where they can park. So.
Mr. Chairman, I have a procedural question. We're coming back to approve this or disapprove it and send it to council with our stamp on it as a committee, correct? So that came to us next time. I made a motion that said I approve it subject to the following: exclude the digital readout, and everybody agree with me here, that's what would go to council, correct? Any conditions we just normally, any conditions we establish to our approval would then go to council?
It would. It would go to council as your recommendation to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we could address it at that point, saying, do we all agree to the digital? If we do, we have a motion to that effect, then we're done.
Well, you make a motion to recommend that to council,
sure.
And
yeah.
Council will consider
right.
If
council
they...
Council got final decision. Okay.
Yeah, the final decision.
We
correct.
The first
if they
look,
agree
the
or not.
The last look.
And we have the ability to say to you, we don't want this, this, and this to go to the council. Excuse me. They can go to the council, but we're not approving that. Then the council can decide to override us or otherwise.
Correct. I mean, you can make any kind of comments that you want at the next meeting. This is, again, this is the...
We're not making a decision tonight.
You're not making a decision.
That's fine.
Yeah. And as part of, when you look at the plan is the totality of how a plan can look, what the total signage can look like. It doesn't mean it's all going to get built, like, out of the gate. Yeah. But you're outlining the
well, that's a whole other issue at, about the, yeah, the procurement process.
Yeah, so you're looking at the long-term idea, you know, I mean, are we going to be able to put a digital kiosk sign on? And there's a lot of things when you look at the digital kiosk, and we had a lot of conversation on the stakeholder group. Is it just something that is digital in the sense that you can update it without having to put a physical piece of something in there, change out a business changes, and now you got to go through a whole expense and time of changing that physical board, or if you just go in there and make a digital change, versus a total interactive touch screen, and those things can drastically change the cost, too. So those are things that we still have to evaluate.
I mean, because businesses are going to come and go.
Right. Right. That's,
I mean, is, yes, whatever we say now, it doesn't mean by the time the sign even gets up, things have changed.
That's right. So that's the difficulty.
You've got to be flexible.
Correct.
Otherwise, don't even do it. Don't even do it.
The overall, just as a gentleman, the overall thinking on this, the placements and everything else, it's pretty easy to send it forward, say, this is what we like, and we can't find anything obnoxious on it. The placement over there is key, and obviously that's been studied quite a bit. And but the only thing that's really missing is a big old blockway is that this is Carefree and that's Cave Creek.
Well, and that's what, I mean, that these signs say this is Carefree. Yeah. So this is why, you know, we are distinguishing.
He's trying to be funny.
But I will say from the kiosk.
Totally.
From the kiosk side, we did simplify. There were more. There's one. And so, again, the signs here, the maps, the destination signage, for if you look at wayfinding programs in other communities, they will include these items. They're not necessary items. So just to make that clear, the sundial repurpose sign we think is a really nice way to reuse some of your existing signs. So this is something that could be along multi-use pathways, and I will say those multi-use pathways don't exist right now, so they can't go in right now. It would be something that would be a future implementation.
Is there a reason we didn't look at the entire town versus just the town center? You know, Pima Road intersection, tell people how to make a left to go here versus right to go out to the lakes. That's something we just didn't do and bother with.
Or you're going up Desert Mountain.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
To be honest,
Pima's going to, you know, you see what they're doing, widening of Pima. We're talking about four-lane boulevard the next 10 years.
I think this was an outcome from the Village Center Master Plan, an implementation goal from the master plan itself.
I was curious.
No, it's a good question. I think we talked about it, but I think it was trying to kind of hone in on a scope.
My fellow commissioners are very anxious to leave, but I still have questions.
I understand.
You leave or you stay. On all of these pictures that you put in your report, I think it would be helpful if you put the figures next to them.
Sure.
So people get a sense of, I know you have it on the last page, you know, where you line them all up. But just as you go page by page,
sure,
just to get a sense of scale.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The other thing is on the major entryway signs, I see where you have them located. Does the town own that property? Do we have an easement on that property? Can we place a sign on that?
So the implementation of those actual sign locations is definitely going to have to get discussed as far as easements, ownership, and all of that information. So that's
a suggested place.
It's a suggestion.
Don't right now have the right to put a sign there.
That is correct.
Staff research whether or not there's any right-of-way issues or anything?
Not generally, no.
So what those are, again, this is a master plan. So when you get into implementation, you're going to have a site plan that's going to show exactly where that's going to be.
I guess that would apply to any sign location that we're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely.
So they're generally going to be in an area, and then we're going to figure out how to make it happen.
Okay. We'd just put a, as part of the implementation process,
Absolutely.
The access has to be acquired.
Absolutely.
And if we're going to be illuminating these, we're going to need a power source.
Correct.
So, okay.
Yes. So that's so as
I mean,
part of
this is a great plan.
It's
any plan beats no plan nine times out of ten. Yeah. But
it's
you don't have to answer that. Pavilion. Got two questions with respect to Pavilion. One, Mr. Abyssus Sanderson spent a lot of money building the Sanderson Ford Pavilion.
He built it. He just put his name on it.
Well, then he
paid
gave the money.
He paid his work.
Okay, he wasn't out there laying block.
That's right.
Okay. But one, we short-sighting them on that? I'm just raising the question. It's known as the it's always advertised as the Sanderson Pavilion.
Yeah.
It you want to put the word Sanderson right.
So
and then Pavilion?
I'm asking. Has not paid for that particular advertising, and we'll have to negotiate that.
I'm just asking the question. The second question that I have with respect to that, is that not recreation? Why is that not green as opposed to the muni color?
So that's a very perceptive catch, because at our last discussion, it was green. So it was green on the last one. Originally, it was a recreation item. However, when we're looking at six items, we're looking at balancing, design, and...
So you want to make two to two?
We have two main features under recreation. And in our stakeholder discussion, we said that the pavilion technically is... a municipal item, because it's where the municipal
act. Technically, so is the sundial.
Well, we could make it all yellow.
Technically, so are the gardens. Was that a name licensing pavilion?
Yes.
Or sold then, or is it a matter of they paid for construction?
No, it's just a
licensing agreement that gets done every year, correct? Renewed every year?
It was a 10-year agreement, yeah. And it expires at the end of in June of next year.
Okay. And all the other signs that would reference specific businesses on what exist out there now, right? You know, you've got this one and that one. Those are all going away.
Correct.
And we're replacing them with a generalized statement that says this way. Pavilion or shopping, whatever it is, taking all the detail off, which shop is which, whose restaurant is which. So to give it to pavilions is probably the right move, unless we're going to rename the licensing race.
Yeah, there's a separate licensing conversation that needs to happen.
Okay, that's fine. I was just, when you were talking pavilion, I was somewhat lost when I was looking at these signs, what we were talking about, then it dawned on me what we were talking about. Again, if you put the little stick figure next to it, that'd be great.
Sure.
On these high-speed signs, we're including parking. It would be helpful to me because... And you have all the text, and I admit that I did not go through and look at each sign and figure out where the language was. But it would be helpful on that map and here, what are we suggesting as the parking? And where are we directing people when we put up parking?
Parking Lake.
No, but I don't know. It's hard for me to figure out, when you say parking, where you're intending for people to park. And that goes to our other. So if you could just highlight those areas in blue or green or something. Well, but where? What lots are we directing people to? Is my question. We don't have lots.
I'll just start by showing this overall. Again, what we have here is the plan, the master plan, and so some of these do not exist yet. But there is an intent up in this area to have parking. So there is a map that's associated with the parking. We would have parking signage in this area. We would also have parking signage in this area right here.
Okay.
And then we would have parking signage. We would need to talk to the bashes, but we would look in this area as well. And then, again, you have parking along your streets, and
right.
So there would be signage there.
Things are going to change every other month.
Well, but we're putting parking on this high-speed sign. I'm just wondering, where are we directing them to?
What we could do, I think, to help clarify on that is show the parking on these maps. We could absolutely do that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That would be helpful to me.
Sure.
And I also think, because then there's the parking signs themselves once you're at the parking lot. So there's an actual parking sign when you're there.
But if you go to the next slide, which is the low speed, which would seem to me to be one of the most important to say parking, but it doesn't. I mean, if I turn in, I'm going at high speed that goes right, you know, and it says go down Ho-Hum. Okay, so I turn down Ho-Hum, and then I see this sign, and all of a sudden I don't know where the hell I'm supposed to park. I'm just...
Sure.
Suggesting that is, I think human nature is such that people see a parking sign. We don't have any parking lots. They see parking in a mall or someplace else, downtown Scottsdale, that they're looking for a place to park. We don't have any parking lots, so all we have is a bunch of parking spaces that may or may not be open.
So to give you some thought or some insight into our thought behind it, is where these signs are located, you will see the on-street parking there. So they will have already seen that there's on-street parking with the parking signs, so that's why they're not being highlighted here. The lots that we are suggesting in the master plan, again, don't necessarily exist as public lots yet, but that could be a consideration when those lots do go in, that we could look at putting the parking sign, you know, direction to that. But there's, when you're in the low speed area, you'll have already seen that there's parking because you're coming in the street where there's parking along it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. The other question that I have is that Hacienda up there, which we looped into here, is kind of an orphan on this whole deal. I know it's a challenge just because of the layout, and that what we're just saying, it's a challenge because of the layout.
We, in that particular location, we know that that is an add-on that's part of the master plan. From an overall perspective, again, we're keeping it within the confines of what's shown on this map. If there's a desire to have more, you know, signage directing into there, we can do that. It's just not been part of this process. That's part of the redevelopment discussions that are going on.
Any other questions?
Yeah. Just relax there, Chairman.
I was going to ask, does our visitor have any questions?
No, she can't because she's going to have to handle this at the council level.
Oh.
Absolutely. I'm still curious about, relax, Mr. Chairman. I'm still curious about the purpose of the minor gateway signs.
Sure.
So
we did simplify those locations. What they are intending to do is signify that you're coming into the core of the town center. They are, again, going back to my graphic here. Let me go back to it. It's slow.
Getting closer.
It's getting there. They are intended to just be that icon. As you're coming into an area, again, it's getting the excitement and the enthusiasm for coming into a district or an area like that. Those are other signs. They are on this first slide, but they are other signs that, again, could be part of a later phase, and they could be something that comes in. If you're seeing the success of this and you want to continue, that could be something that's added.
On the kiosk. How do, years ago I used to play in this area, and one of the biggest problems that we had with electronics was the sun. And it would melt the boards, it would just, no matter what we tried, outside electronics really didn't go well.
Sure.
Has technology moved forward a million years and now they work?
Pretty much.
Technology has moved forward significantly in that there are manufacturers of digital signage that work in this climate, that do signs just like this. What we were looking at, though, because that is a concern, no matter what manufacturer you choose, you want to have the best conditions for longevity and not have that maintenance. So we could look at putting this under a shade canopy or under some kind of structure so that it's not sitting in the full sun.
Okay. And then it can also be used as a message board, correct?
Yes. If it's digital, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Major apartment communities don't install them anymore because they're not, the weather's fine. People are breaking them for the chips inside and selling them for microchips.
The other opportunity we have the visitor center.
Stop.
So we also can be looking to maybe, if this is the direction we end up going, and if we could always start with that because it's cheaper to put something indoors. Right. It'll withstand it. We can lock it up at night.
Wall-mounted is actually better. Wall-mounted is the best of all solutions. Put it up high enough, people can see it, and you can't get at it with a hammer to yank out the interior electronics, which is what the vandals are doing when they rip these things apart.
But I think that the question is when we look at a comprehensive site plan, if we were to do a digital kiosk, is this what we like? I mean, is that the location that we like it at?
Okay. If you don't like it. On the directories, what is the... what is the medium or the substrate that these are going to be done on? And are they going to be vinyl die cuts or the silk screen?
So my thought on those is that they would be a high-pressure laminate.
Okay. Okay, we'll take care of it.
So that's a very durable sign type that, are you familiar with that? It's something that we've used along scenic byways. It has, it withstands snow, sun, ice.
And then the big problem with this is as somebody mentioned, oh, we moved down hall, or somebody moved out, and now, or Sanderson's no longer the pavilion.
Right.
How expensive are those to update?
So the good news with those is that they are the smaller signs. Yeah. So they are, you know, again, and they would be mounted so that that panel could be replaced and put back on. The other thing with this is that it's intended to be more of a map, not to say these are the businesses, this is... you know, exactly what you'll find. It's that here's the shopping, here's the dining in general, here's your sundial that's not going to move, the gardens, you know, things like that. So it's the key destination.
Okay, and then with all of the, two more questions. One is somebody from town staff has gone through and looked at all of the verbiage on each of these signs and said, oh, yeah, that's what it has to say, or you were left to your own devices?
So we were looking at the destination. So those destinations have been discussed at length with the stakeholder groups and with town staff. So those are the various destinations that have been developed. And then based on the location, we have placed the arrows and the destinations that are appropriate. But, you know, we've looked at it very carefully, and
it
is very tedious. Yes, it is.
The last question that I have is that I don't know what the Town of Carefree sign ordinance is, but would these comport? I know it's a difficult transition because it's on-premise, off-premise signage kind of, but does the code accommodate all this stuff?
I guess I'll answer that. We are creating what the code allows us to do as a comprehensive sign plan, which gives us some liberty into creating a signage package with various types of signs. Does it meet some of those requirements if it was a separate business entity? No. Does it exceed them? No. But it's basically the fact that we're creating this comprehensive sign plan gives us the liberty to design something that's in the best interest of the town, and that's what the comprehensive sign plan is for in terms of even for a shopping center. It's to allow them some flexibility, but the town in return gets something of a better quality, nicer materials. So,
so it won't look tacky.
So it will not look tacky. So, I would say yes, it does, because we allow for comprehensive sign plans.
Yeah, I understand.
We have power.
But the zoning ordinance allows us to do so, anybody to do so, or a business to do so as well. A multi-tenant business, I should say.
There's no pylon signage in town that approaches anything like the size that we're talking about putting in, right?
That's correct. The Spanish Village sign that's a perfect example. Spanish Village has its own comprehensive sign plan, and there's a sign that's on Cape Creek Road, which is, it's pretty large.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think these have a different dimension to them, in my opinion.
Different style, too.
Different style, but I think it's the same idea. Would you say that?
I would say that's true, yeah.
Kind of the same kind of feel and scale and intent.
Another thing, just whatever we come up with in here, times change. I mean, this is not in stone. It can't be in stone because town hall might move. I mean, we have all these things in flux. nothing, I mean, stores will come and go. I mean, so, you know, whatever we come up with here, it has to be something that we can be flexible with and changing. It can't be, once we put these signs up, we're screwed and nothing else can happen.
And I think that flexibility is built into it, as Rebecca has just explained. But what I think is permanent is the framework of it. I mean, I think it's
and
a very...
put up a blank one until you get your signage back. And
that's true.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
But what I think is important is creating the framework of this, which, in my opinion, is beautiful. I think it's got contextual materials. It's got nice colors, as sort of Tom was alluding to. That's not going to change. And I think that I think our consultant has come up with a beautiful design that, in my opinion, is in a timeless way, similar to our sundial.
I agree.
So that's my opinion. So you're right. I mean, information will change, and these are flexible to allow that. But the framework of them, the designs of them, will not.
No. Now, in regards to cost, do we put our 2 cents in about that or not?
So we have reached out to get some costs on this, and so we're waiting on costs to come back, and we will have that information, I think.
And then do we have...
Will they have it for the November meeting?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, okay, cost, and then do we have... We won't have any say in where that money will come from, though. That's up to the council.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they got to find it somewhere, and good luck finding it.
Mm-hmm. They
so the printing machines are for it.
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't waste a lot of time in company's efforts.
So we do have, just for next steps, we have our town council session on October 25th. We'll be going over the same information with comments from you all as well. We'll be back on the 14th to see. I love being here.
Will you wrap it up, ladies?
And then town council on December 6th, and hopefully formal adoption soon after.
All right.
And then they'll tell you, we got no money, so it was a nice program you came up with, but I wish we had the money to do this.
Someone said it's better to have a plan than no plan, right?
Actually, Rebecca, I think that P&Z is going to make their recommendation, and town council could make their decision in December. I think we put January on there for a little bit of flexibility in case there's some discussion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's kind of like we're really kind of sliding into home plate.
Well, another thing, all of this stuff is not going to be done like that. We're not going to have it, you know, town council approves it, and 2 days later, they start doing everything, and everything gets done in 3 weeks. No, it ain't going to happen that way.
And even when things go to implementation, they can get tweaked based on.
Yeah,
that's what
absolutely,
I'm saying.
Absolutely. The materials, all of that.
Yeah. Everything tweaks.
Well, we're done with them.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, thank you.
Any announcements?
There are no announcements. No, but so we've exhausted. We're ready with.
Make an adjournment. I move to adjourn.
Ralph, excuse me. So everything that we've talked about tonight, we're going to summarize and take to town council and have the same conversation. Is there anything that you still speak now and want to be sure that we take it to town council?
I can't think of much from my standpoint.
We got a sign going on.
You know, we're going to have to put the casino sign on there next. It's like
we're
there's no fix.
We're losing
our panel. Make a dollar for every
hummingbird. Can you just wait? Can we just adjourn? Wait, Dan, just because I need a quorum. So just wait 5 minutes. So.
5 minutes?
Not 5 minutes to adjourn.
30 seconds. I'm just saying I need him to vote to adjourn. You guys can't just leave.
Yeah. So.
I need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Who seconds?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Now we can go.
Thank you.
Peter, you have a question?